grace, mercy, and peace to you
from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of our gospel reading for today, the disciples have returned to Jesus after he had sent them out with the authority to teach, to heal, and to cast out demons. They come back to him and they are exhausted. They have been serving others. They have been teaching others. And our text tells us that the people were coming and going so frequently that they did not have any time even to eat. So Jesus decides that it would be best for him and for his disciples if they all went away by themselves to a desolate place in order to rest, away from the crowds that were seeking them. And at first, this might seem selfish. It might seem a little calloused of Jesus. But when we actually look into it, it's not so bad. In fact, it's actually good. Because rest is good. Rest is something that God created us to do. He created humans with limits so that we would have times appointed for work and times appointed for rest. God himself exemplifies this on the seventh day when he rests from his labors in creation. And in our text for today, God himself decides to rest, he and his disciples. The only real problem with this decision is that the people, the crowds, won't have it. They'll have none of it. Because they have heard Jesus' teaching, they've seen his miracles, and they know that they need him. Maybe they don't quite yet understand exactly everything about Jesus, who he is, what he has come to do, but they know that they need him. They need to hear him. They need to be near him. And we see how desperately they want to be near him by how they race out of their towns, run on foot, and beat him to the other side of the sea so that they can meet him. And when Jesus meets the crowd, it could theoretically be that he would send them away, that he would say, "I was trying to rest. I don't have time for you right now." That's maybe what I would have done, maybe what a lot of us would have done, but that's not what Jesus does. He looks on the crowd and he sees their need and he has compassion on them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They had no one to teach them, no one to lead them, no one to guide them. No one to lead them by the green pastures to eat, no one to lead them by the still waters to drink. No one to teach them the truth of God's word, the truth of salvation that brings us back to God. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he led them. He taught them many things throughout the entire day. And then later on, as the day grew late, he provided for their needs also of hunger by giving them bread and fish in abundance more than what they needed. So that's the message that our text has for us today, that Jesus knows your needs. He looks upon them with compassion and he fulfills them with himself. He fulfills both your needs of body and soul. He knows your needs of soul, that in ourselves we're spiritually bankrupt, that because of our sin we are separated from God, that we need the forgiveness of sins in order to be reconciled to God once again, and he fulfills that with his teaching, he fulfills that with his blood. He also knows your needs of body, our daily needs that we need to survive, food and drink, etc. He also knows when you go through more serious trials, sickness, injury, things that might even lead you on the doorstep of death. He sees you in those needs, cares for you, has compassion on you, and loves you. Jesus looked out at the crowd and saw them like ones who were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw a spiritually starved crowd. They had nobody who was teaching them the truth of God's word. They had nobody who was teaching them the true way to salvation. And that's why when they first heard Jesus teaching, they heard something that they had never even heard before. Nothing like it ever before. Something that actually gave them spiritual nourishment. Because Jesus taught them the true gospel, salvation found in him through his blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, that in him they found salvation in God. In Christ, they found their connection to God, their relationship with God once again. In an ideal world, they wouldn't have had to go out into the desert to go search after a faithful teacher. In an ideal world, that would have been happening in their local synagogue, in their local church. They wouldn't have had to go far to hear the truth of God's word, but the teachers of God's truth would have faithfully brought it to them. In an ideal world, the religious leaders would have been raising up faithful teachers to communicate the truth of God's word to God's people. But that was not happening. The religious leaders, the teachers in Jesus' day, resembled the religious leaders and the teachers in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, to whom Jeremiah spoke the words of God to them, saying, "You have scattered my flock and have driven them away. You have not attended to them." The teachers in Jesus' day had neglected their role of bringing the people the truth of God's word, the way of salvation. The Pharisees and Sadducees should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. They were supposed to be the experts in the law, the one who knew all the signs. They saw those signs in Jesus. They saw the teaching of Jesus. They saw the miracles of Jesus, and they intentionally rejected him. They intentionally turned other people away from Christ instead of turning them toward him like they were supposed to. Jesus says that the Pharisees were like whitewashed tombs, on the outside beautiful, on the inside dead. On the outside, they had the appearance of religion, the appearance of godliness, but on the inside, they were dead, nothing. And their teaching was no different. On the outside, it seemed like it should have been the truth of God's word. They looked the part, they had the position of the person who was supposed to be teaching God's word, but inwardly, their teaching was nothing. It was worthless. It was not spiritually nourishing. Because they did not point to God, they did not point to Christ, but rather they pointed to themselves. And they pointed each person to himself. They taught an external righteousness, a keeping the letter of the law, but without faith in Christ. They kept an external righteousness and also a self-righteousness, turning to oneself rather than turning to God to receive forgiveness. That's why Jesus' teaching was so radically different, because he taught us salvation and the forgiveness of sins through him alone, through his blood alone, a teaching that takes us outside of ourselves and points us to him. And when they heard this for the first time, it was like food given to a starving man who hadn't eaten in days or weeks. When they tasted it, when they heard it, they knew what they needed to fulfill their spiritual need. They needed Jesus. That's a very high bar for a man. That's a high bar to say that it is a man who fulfills your spiritual need. It's a high bar to say that it is a man who is your one way back to God. Theoretically, anybody could have looked at that crowd without a leader and said, "I'll step in and lead." Theoretically, anybody could step in and say, "I'm the way of salvation." But how do we know that Jesus' words are actually true? How do we know that he saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is actually true? Jesus proves this by showing his power and authority also over creation, also over the people's physical needs in a very real and visible way that cannot be denied. We see this at the end of the day when Jesus finishes teaching. And his disciples come up to him and they're worried about the physical needs of the people. They're worried that they're hungry and that they're in a desolate place and won't be able to find food anywhere. We can almost feel the nervous energy of the disciples. They're worried that there's not going to be enough for the people. It's like the nervous energy of a church potluck, wondering if there's going to be enough, wondering if there's going to be enough for everybody who's going to come. We know that they've been inwardly calculating about how much they would need, because when Jesus calmly responds, "You give them something to eat," they already know exactly how much they would need, how much it would have cost. But Jesus doesn't act with this nervous energy. He doesn't act anxiously, but rather he acts calmly. He acts confidently. He acts in control, because he knows that he has exactly what they need. He knows that he has the power and authority to fulfill everything that they need. He has the power to match his compassion. And in so doing, he feeds them. He miraculously feeds them. He has them sit down in groups. He takes the bread and the fish, looking up into heaven, blessing it, and he distributes it to his disciples, who then distribute to the people. And he keeps giving more and more and more, coming from the hand of Jesus, until there is more than enough to satisfy all the needs of the people. This miracle proves Jesus' power and authority over all creation. Your needs in this world, in this body, cannot be met without God. The food that you need to survive each day can't grow without the guiding hand of God. Your heart can't beat one more time unless God grants it. You cannot take one more breath unless God gives it. And in our reading for today, Jesus proves that he is that God who has control over all things, causes the food to grow, has the power over the distribution of that food, has the power to grant you another heartbeat, has the power to grant you another breath. Look to the God who gives you all things that are needful for your body. Look to Jesus, who has power to give you all things that are needful for your body. Know that Jesus looks upon you in your needs, knows your needs, and has compassion on you, and that he controls all things in this universe for your good. Know this especially when you go through trial, disease, injury, things that would even bring you on the brink of death. Know that Jesus has all things in his control, that he has all things under his power, that he does all things for the benefit of those who love him. When we have physical bodily needs, they're usually very difficult, sometimes even impossible to ignore. I never willfully go an entire day without eating or an entire week without eating, because the whole time my body would be screaming out to me that I need food. When we have physical needs, they're impossible to ignore. But that's not always the case with our spiritual needs. Sometimes our spiritual needs are actually easy to ignore. This doesn't mean they're less important. We could actually argue that our spiritual needs are more important than our bodily needs, because if we do not have the fulfillment of our spiritual needs, forgiveness, salvation, we have only death. But still, our sinful flesh tries to mask our spiritual needs so that we don't even realize that we have them, so that we can go day by day without fulfilling them and we wouldn't even know the difference. It's very difficult to skip a meal or a day of meals, but in the same way, it's very easy to go a day, 2 days, maybe an entire week without reading the Bible, without praying, perhaps even without going to church. Remember then what Jesus cares for in this miracle. He doesn't just focus on the bodily needs. He doesn't just focus on the spiritual needs, he cares for both together. He remembers both together. And he provides for both. He provides for everything that we need, both in body and in soul. This world, everything else besides our Lord Christ, is only going to leave you spiritually starved. Everything else in this world is only going to turn you to yourself. Self-help, self-righteousness, valuing the things of this world before the things of God, will find no spiritual nourishment in the things of this world outside of Christ and his church. Find spiritual nourishment wherever Jesus is, for he is the only spiritual nourishment for your souls, because he is the only one who speaks the true word of God. He wants to share with you the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, that you've been washed clean by his blood, that you find salvation and reconciliation with God because of him. He wants to feed you with his body and blood given in the Lord's Supper. He wants to clothe you with himself in holy baptism. He's promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. He's promised to be physically, bodily present in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Go to where Jesus has promised to be, for that is where you will find spiritual nourishment. Like the crowd in our story for today, who runs out after Jesus on foot, zealously seek Jesus. Zealously seek where he is going to be. Treasure his word, eagerly partake in his sacraments, for they are our life, our salvation. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of our needs of body and soul. He is Almighty God who has power to fulfill all of our needs, and he has the compassion to recognize and care for the needs of each and every one of you. He has also promised to care for our bodies into eternity, that he will come on the last day to raise us up in the body, to join our bodies together with our souls, so that we will eternally praise Jesus in heaven and be with him in heaven with body and soul together forever. May Christ continue to feed us with his word throughout our entire lives and nourish our souls until that day when he comes again and we see him face to face. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.